You're listening to Rendezvous with a Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet. And story is everything. We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell.
And that was the Hot Texas Swing Band starting us off, courtesy of the Hot Texas Swing Band. We are so delighted that you're joining us again tonight, whether you're live with us right now or you're catching this up as a podcast in the hours or the days in the future. Thank you for sharing the ride with us. Yeah. Hey,
okay. who's our guest?
Who are our guests tonight?
Henry Park, True West Magazine, and Nancy Elliott. And we'll be talking about Nancy's new book.
Yes, we
will. Autumn is on the way.
Yeah, so I'm going to hold it up right now so we know Nancy's our featured author tonight. Hello, Nancy.
Hello, everybody. I'm pretty excited to be here.
We're so happy. It's been a long time since we've seen you. And yeah. Henry Park is always with us the first Thursday of every month with Henry Sid. Here we have the...
We're reading the same book. What do you know?
And yeah, Henry...
We do want to give a plug for True West Magazine. We got to get that picture in there. There we go.
And we're always delighted to have Henry with us because he catches us up on what's happening on the front of Western movie and TV. You were just someplace yesterday, Henry, that you told us about last month. Where were you?
Oh, yes. I was the guest at the LA Breakfast Club, which is a fun organization. I'd encourage everybody in town to check it out. They have these amazing eclectic events every Wednesday morning. And they've been around for, this is their 99th year.
Wow, 99. They must be doing something for 100. You better go back next year.
Right. Well, I gave a talk about Western films in my book, The Greatest Westerns Ever Made and the People Who Made Them, which was wonderfully well attended. Did a signing afterwards. On June 22nd, the Autry Museum has invited me to introduce a screening of News of the World.
Oh, great.
Which is, I think, an excellent Western, Tom Hanks's first, and I chose it because it came out during COVID. So here's this big screen Western, and hardly anyone ever saw it on a screen. So we're going to give an audience a chance to see it that way.
That's great. Let's see. Yeah. And the article, Jim's holding it up again.
Oh, yeah, you wrote this article on the front page article here on Bass Reeves.
Tell us a little about that. Sure, I'd be happy to. It's about a new documentary on Bass Reeves, In Search of Bass Reeves, and looks at his real life versus the fiction, which is not to say that they don't do the series well. They cover a lot of the history well, but of course, for dramatic purposes, you always make things more romantic and interesting, and Bass Reeves was an incredible lawman, and it's so nice he's finally getting his due.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He is indeed. And you have something coming up next, or are you going to tell us about what's happening?
Well, I was going to tell you about a few things that are happening. Back at the Autry, a couple of interesting screenings. On Saturday, May 18th at 1:30 p.m., they're showing a pair of silent Westerns with live musical accompaniment, 1918's The Gunwoman, 1921's The Stampede. Now, both star Texas Guinan, who was a famous speakeasy entertainer during Prohibition, and a Western film star, sometimes described as the female William S. Hart, but much better looking than you would imagine William S. Hart in a wig or anything. But I've never seen any of her films, and I can't wait to. Oh, and the second one, She co-stars with and is directed by Francis Ford, John Ford's older brother, which is kind of interesting. Have you heard about Viggo Mortensen's new Western?
No.
I don't think we have.
Tell us.
Well, Viggo has, of course, acted in several Westerns like Young Guns 2 and Hidalgo, which is not exactly a Western, but he plays a cowboy, and Appaloosa, which is a really fine picture. And he has now written, directed, and stars in The Dead Don't Hurt, which was shot in Mexico. And it's a striking film to see. Viggo's father, in reality, was Danish. And in the film, he plays a Danish immigrant who falls for a French-Canadian immigrant, a woman who idolizes Joan of Arc. She's played by Vicky Krieps, who is from Luxembourg and who starred in Phantom Thread. She's not that well known in the United States, but a very, very big star in Europe. And it's really her character's story, because Viggo's character volunteers for the Civil War and is off for years, and she must keep their farm going. It's quite a picture. It opens in theaters on May 31st, but the Autry has an early screening on Tuesday, May 21st at 7. It's free to members, but you'll need reservations.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the other big Western story is Horizon, an American saga from co-writer, director, and star Kevin Costner. It's a 15-year story from before the Civil War through Reconstruction and beyond. Chapter 1 is in theaters on June 28th, Chapter 2 on August 16th. Have you seen the trailer?
No.
There's a really good, now almost 3.5-minute long trailer, and I'm posting it on Facebook and adding it to the roundup. It's very impressive. I mean, you don't really get a sense of the plot, but then again, if you know the history, you don't really worry about that.
Yeah.
One last thing. If you're looking to do a good deed and help preserve Western movie history, Rex Allen was the last of the singing cowboys. He did some really fine Westerns at Republic, with sometimes Buddy Ebsen and mostly Slim Pickens as his sidekick. In Wilcox, Arizona, there's a Rex Allen Museum, and I just heard that there's a GoFundMe campaign going on to get it a new roof, because they're expecting monsoons and other needed repairs. And of course, you can read all about these stories and so much more at www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
Thank you. Thank you, Henry. We always enjoy hearing what's going on. And Henry stays with us. This is, we usually have a Western writer on if we can. And so we love to have him stay on. And Henry knows that he could just jump in at any time, Nancy, and get involved.
I always raise my hand.
Yeah, well. So do you want to tell us a little bit about Nancy Elliott, our featured guest? Nancy, where are you joining us from?
Home, Casa Grande. Well, west of Casa Grande. Arizona.
Okay. Yeah.
Very good. Yes, Nancy Elliott brings writing, poetry, and short story at an early age when an elementary school teacher gave a class dedicated time for writing each day. After picking up a guitar at age 13, Nancy began writing songs and has since recorded 4 albums of mostly original music in her self-coined genre, Southwestern Americana. Her first book, Autumn is on Its Way, is based on a song of the same title. Nancy lives and writes in the Great Sonoran Desert, Arizona, somewhere between Phoenix and Tucson. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
This is such a beautiful cover. Do you want to just take a moment and tell us, like, is there a story behind the cover?
Yeah, there's a fun story behind the cover. The stone archway on the cover, everything in the cover is real. Put it that way. The stone archway, are you familiar with the poet Chris Isaacs that lives up in Heber Overdrive? Yes. Mm-hmm. I called Chris and said, hey, Chris, I need a stone archway for a ranch. And he gave me directions. So I went up, took a bunch of pictures of the archway and the wall, the two-lane that goes through the archway, and the trees behind the archway are up on the Mogollon Rim, up around Clintwell Long Valley. And then the mountain that's behind the trees and the lake that's on the backside of the cover, those are up at Williams Lake, Arizona. So it's all Arizona stuff. I just cobbled it all together. And The art department was very kind to throw a few autumn colors on the mountainside back there.
Mm-hmm. Did they add the MK initials in the center also? Yeah.
Very they cool. had to superimpose that on there, yes.
On there, yeah. Do you want to start?
Well, you know, we usually just ask a straight question, you know, what's the inspiration for the story or for the book? But it's a little more than that for you, because you got a great, great background story on this book, right? Mm-hmm. What got you started?
Yeah. Well, when I wrote the song Autumn's on Its Way, probably about 2006, and as I was performing it out, I like to put a lot of miles on a song before I put them on an album, and was out playing it a lot, and right away people asked, so what happens? And I said, I don't know. I just, you know, three verses and a chorus, and that's a song. And I hadn't thought about it past that. So I was at Festival of the West in Scottsdale, Arizona in 2008, the spring, March or so of 2008, and went to visit some friends at the Western Writers of America table. And while I was visiting with Major Mitchell and his wife, Judy, a gentleman walked up from behind them and stuck his hand out and said, "You're Nancy Elliott." And I said, "You're Elmer Kelton." And he said, "I've been a big fan of yours for a long time, your music." And I said, "Well, I've been a fan of yours for as long as I can remember, my dad and I." So we just got to talking, and I had done some artwork, and Major used it on the cover of his most recent book. And Mr. Kelton and I were visiting, and later he came to one of my shows. And when he came to the show, after the concert, of course, I did Autumn's on Its Way. The album had just released. And he came up and purchased an album, and he also had one of Major's books with my artwork on it. Asked me to autograph them both. I was stunned. But then he asked me, "What does the soldier say?" And I said, "I don't know, Mr. Kelton." And he kind of wagged his finger in my face and says, "Well, you need to go home and find out." And I said, "Yes, sir." So that's what happened. That's how I sat down finally and fleshed out the story behind the song, Autumn's on Its Way.
That's a great backstory.
I know. It's such a great backstory.
I had never thought about writing a book before. Never thought about it.
Never. I think if a well-known writer said to me, "Well, you need to go write that," I guess I would figure out how to write that.
Well, she did.
She did.
You know, and you were in kind of... Go ahead.
And in the song, there's no mention of a soldier, but that's what Mr. Kelton heard. And so I wrote a soldier into the book for Mr. Kelton.
Yes. With we are going to hear a part of the song in just another couple minutes. Let's just talk before we do that a little bit about the storyline. No spoiler alerts. When I read it, I thought to myself as I was reading it, I thought, oh my goodness, the prose is so engaging. It's so descriptive. I'm just right there in every scene, like a fly on the wall. But what is this? Is this romance? Is this historical fiction? Is this mystery? Is this there's a little mystical element, you know? I couldn't, not that I was trying to pigeonhole it, but if you're a reader of any of the genres that I just said, this book is for you. Where would you place it, Nancy, if you had to? What would you say it is?
I would place it in historical fiction or women's literature, because it's not really a romance. There's a little dab of that in there, but that's not the crux of the story. You know, Rose McKenzie doesn't need to be rescued, and that's not the crux of the story for someone to come in and save her. So I would say women's literature and then historical fiction. Yeah. And Western, of course, Western because of the period that it's set in.
Right. Right. Yeah. What period, what time period is it set in?
Oh, well, in the backstory in the book, you learn that they settled in 1849 up in northeastern Arizona, what is now around Greer Alpine. And then it in the book, it runs through 1867.
Okay. We are going to play. I'm going to ask Sam to play the first song we have set up, Autumn's on Its Way. And as we talked about last night, Nancy, it I'm starting it where the lyric has to do with his meeting the boys.
Okay.
You know, so I don't know if you'd like to say a little something about this song before we play it.
Well, the song was actually based on a conglomeration of ranching women that I know. And all of these women ended up on their own with various numbers of children running ranches and were quite successful in accomplishing that. And a couple of them are quite well to do at this point, but that's the crux of the song, was based on these very powerful or emotionally and spiritually strong women.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's, Sam, if you could, we'd like to hear song number one, Autumn's on Its Way.
See those boys, they need a man, and they take to your hand like that colt you started last week. You're respectful and kind, you get a straight thinking mind, and I wonder, do you ever think of me? The lighting through the window tells me freshness on the breeze says it's due most any day. Would you stay on through the winter, keep the canyon winds at bay, if there's love here in the springtime? There's nothing left to say.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. We were listening to this great song, Autumn's on Its Way.
So beautiful.
It was behind the book, and then, Autumn's on Its Way, but Nancy Elliott.
Yes. And
wasn't that a gorgeous song, though?
It's a gorgeous song.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And it's on this album. Do you want to tell us a little something about the album, Nancy?
Well, Bluebird Singing on the Buffalo Road.
You want to tell us a little something about?
Sure. Bluebird Singing on the Buffalo Road is quite a few of my newer songs. And then when I realized I was finally going to get the book published, I reached back to Autumn's on Its Way and Wild Rose and some other songs that even don't pertain to the book, White Tank songs like that, and said, oh, it's time to refresh them, because those were all recorded, you know, almost, you know what, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
It was fine. So, and then there's a couple of new ones on there that actually came from the writing of the book as well, Back of the North Wind, and and then the poem The Ruby-Handled Knife had never been recorded, but Bluebird Singing on the Buffalo Road, fun song.
So in that song, we did shorten it, and we kind of got the last minute and 30 seconds of that song, but we decided the three of us that that's the part we should make sure to have on, because that's where the question is.
That's where the question is. Yes.
So what's
the question?
For those that haven't heard this song as often as we have and know the lyric, what's the question?
Would you stay on for the winter? Keep the canyon winds at bay. If there's love here in the springtime, there's nothing left to say.
Exactly. Good. We're going to take a very short break and tell you where you can find all of, you can find this book by Nancy, you can find Henry's book, you can find all of the books of our featured guests here on Rendezvous with a Writer. And that's our bookshop affiliate page. And then when we come back, we're going to talk more about the characters of the book and we're going to hear a couple more songs. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shops Bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. We're talking to Nancy Elliott, and we're talking about her book, Autumn's on the Way. You know, it starts in 1849, and we kind of get into it about, I guess, about 1862, I think is where we kind of start with it. And kind of tell us the storyline a little bit, could you, Nancy?
Right after the Civil War.
Right after the Civil War, yes, is where we kind of come into the story itself. And in the second chapter or so of the book, you get the backstory of why Rose and the boys are where they're at and in the position that they're in. But it just seemed like, I mean, right away to build Rose McKenzie, the book absolutely had to be about Rose and about who she is as a person. And how she's managing this huge place and her interactions with not only the local people, but the citizenry of the little town that they were part and partial to developing, but also the local Indian tribes and getting that whole, all those relationships built. And some of them are pretty hilarious relationships, like how they come together only once in a while and sometimes by accident and just barely miss killing each other sort of thing. But that's where the first part of the book opens up, and you get a big picture of Rose and where her heart is. And you see that it's absolutely dedicated to not only running the ranch, but continuing the search for her daughter.
What happens to her daughter? Why are we searching for her?
She goes missing, and she goes missing along with another character's wife, Lola Windsoldier. He has been an integral part of the ranch for many, many years, probably about 4 years since they got established. He is the brother to Victoria. And came up with her one time because they work the circuit. They go down into the Texas area for the winter, and they come back up into the high country for the spring and summer work. And I lost my train of thought. Ask me the question again.
Abby
went missing. So she went missing along with Lolo's wife, Millie, and their two-year-old daughter. Really? And they didn't know for a couple of years exactly what happened. I mean, they were remote enough that the communication, it was a lot of rumor as to what had happened, but the rumors were not confirmed for almost 2 years after Abby went missing. And Rose still just, and here we are 5 years down the road, and she won't quit. She saddles up every morning and she searches the same terrain on that ranch, and she searches a wider circle every day and still looking for possibly something that was missed.
Yeah, she. Well, this is almost a tragedy. She's hoping, of course, that Abby is still alive. But in that meantime, she loses her husband, and he sort of dies from grief. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of the basis of the story. It's not a spoiler alert, but you know, Rose moves forward after that, and she's quite a strong woman.
Well, she just won't give up on Abby. It's the mom's heart. She just knows. She just knows she's alive.
She won't give up, and she still has the boys that, you know,
she's responsible for.
A couple of them are still pretty darn young, and they're not, can't be under the care of anybody else, you know, but their mother. So,
yeah. And then the character, oh, I'm sorry.
Henry, she has four boys, 2 years apart. And it's amazing, these guys really pitch in and do what they're supposed to do. You tell them once and they do it. Yeah, now, the younger boy, really he goofs off a little bit. But then he's only like 8 years old, right?
Yeah, he falls asleep on the way home and, you know, in the saddle, you know, falls asleep in the saddle on the way home from working and stuff like that. But he's still a kid.
Yeah, they're really great kids. So then we have a character that enters, K.O.,
yes.
And oh my goodness, KO, ladies out there, you need to meet KO.
KO Campbell.
KO Campbell. Tell us a little bit about KO and a little bit about Rose and KO, and then we're going to play the song Wild Rose. So kind of set up Wild Rose, I guess.
Okay. actually, Wild Rose is a hint. Yeah, Wild Rose is a hint as to what happens later. So, so there's Wild Rose is actually down the road, but that's okay. It was written because of writing the book Autumn's on Its Way, so it fits right in there. But K.O. Campbell was an officer in the Civil War. He was severely injured and sent home, and severely burned. And emotionally injured as well. And he did some traveling as part of his healing and would go to Europe with an older sister. And he was born and raised on a big horse operation in Virginia. And so he knows about horses. And that's not his first love. He just kind of tagged along with his sister to help in the healing process. And he actually had more of an interest in the orchards that were on their property and picked the brains of the orchardists that worked on their big plantation, for lack of a better term. I guess I never thought of what it was, but worked on their place. And how do you do this? And how do you do that? And then later, before he went to war, he went to college, went to university, and actually studied botany at Cambridge. So he's well-educated. And decided that in order to help the healing, emotional healing process as well, he had such a love of botany that in fascination with Lewis and Clark that he was going to finish their circle. That they didn't get, they went out and they came back, but he wanted to go out and finish the circle and come back around and complete their botanical journals that way. And maybe along the way, pick up some of the stuff. Some of their journals were lost and fill out those blank spaces. So that was his goal with no return point in sight. He was just going to go and take care of this. And he had the wherewithal to reach out for that dream when he literally fell off his horse and into the Double MK Ranch.
And yes, he's a very engaging character, and he takes on those boys. He just steps in and he teaches them how to fly fish, and he doesn't try to be a dad, but he's just another man in their lives that he really enjoys his time, I think, with them.
You know, where did you come up with the idea? Did you know somebody who was in the orchard business or fruit business or grew apple trees or?
You know, I grew up in Ohio, and one of my favorite things to do was to go to the apple orchards and pick apples right off the trees, pick the peaches right off the trees. I knew that as a Western story, the typical Western book would call for K.O. to be a cowboy. And I said, no, this is not the typical Western story. Yeah. So can't be a cowboy. And he even says that in the, he goes, I know just enough to get myself hurt or something like that, you know, but he's more of a horse person, not a cowboy.
Henry, did you have a question? Yeah, I didn't see you put your hand up, but I just thought I'd ask.
Well, I was enjoying the conversation so much. I didn't want to interrupt, but I was just struck. Now, I haven't read the book, so my question is not about the plot, but I was very interested in something Bobby said at the beginning about you're becoming a writer through the influence of what grade were you in when you had writing time every day?
They probably started in second and third grade. It's probably around second grade. I remember we were in a particular elementary school, and then the teachers just, it was a township. I grew up in a township. So we would have the same teacher for second grade, and then again in third grade, and maybe for another subject in fourth grade, you know, because it was a smaller school. So that same teacher provided that opportunity throughout those grades that I was in her class.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. I recently retired as a substitute teacher for LA Unified. So I was doing all grades, kindergarten through fifth.
Oh, wow.
And it bothered me that the kids did not have any real opportunities just to sit and write and use their imaginations, and everything was an assignment and it was all fact-based. There was very little encouragement for them to do any storytelling.
Mm.
So I'm so grateful to your teacher.
Thank you. I am too. I don't think that she ever assigned us anything probably until the fourth grade. And then it could be like whatever your brain spun off of that. It didn't have to stick like glue to whatever she said. You know, it was like, whatever, over here.
How cool. Well, let's take a listen to a little bit of Wild Rose, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Wild Rose, Wild Rose, where she goes, no one knows, but there she goes, Wild Rose. A wild chestnut mane and jade green eyes, she's a breathtaking ride through a painted sunrise. A newborn foal and a desert cyclone, she captured my heart and made it her home. Wild Rose, Wild Rose, where she goes, no one knows, but there she goes, Wild Rose. Just a moment she's here for, so brief a stay, my heart fails to beat when she rides away. But the wind is her love, the range is her king, he calls and she's gone like a bird on the wing. Wild Rose, Wild Rose, where she goes, no one knows, but there she goes, Wild Rose.
Thanks, Nancy. You know, that's a great song. You know, for those out here who just joined us, if there's some folks out there that did just join us, we're talking to Nancy Elliott here. We're talking about her book, but we're also talking about her music. She's a great performer, and she's been writing music for a long time. we first found out, I think maybe even sooner, but we found out about Nancy when she performed with Joe Harrington at one of our concerts here way back in Santa Clarita years ago. So it's, we go back a long way.
Oh, both of you, so engaging. I watched that concert the other night, and again, one of my favorites to go back and watch, and so engaging. Yeah. I'm just looking at time, and we're fine on time, but we already talked a little bit about some of the characters. So I wondered if you'd like to set up Back of the North Wind, because we do have a little bit of that prepared to listen to. Okay. If you'd like to tell us the story behind that song.
Okay. Well, in the book, after this is before James dies, this is part of the backstory. Before James dies, and everyone is searching. And the Mackenzie family goes to one of the local clans of the Indian tribe of the Apaches up there in the whites, and says, "We need some help, and we know you guys have the best trackers." And at the time, Mangus Colorado was still alive, and so Mangus Colorado put his best trackers on the job. And they were getting someplace. They tracked them farther up into the high country and kind of down the other side. And then because it was springtime, I mean, you can get snowed on up there in Greer in July. So they had another ice storm, and that was it. The trail was lost. And Lolo Wind Soldier says, it's as if they rode out on the back of the North Wind, because they were just gone. The trail was gone. And I stopped writing. I said, "Thank you, Lolo. I'll be right back." Said, "This is a great line for a song." So I said, there you go.
I love that. Let's take a listen to, and again, this is only about a minute and a half of the song. Let's take a listen to Back of the North Wind, and we'll be right back.
You've been listening to Back of the North Wind by Nancy Elliott.
And it can be found on her album, Bluebird Singing on a Buffalo Road. It's another fabulous song. It's a wonderful CD. I've been kind of immersed in it all week, Nancy. It's just been, you know.
You know, I was thinking.
You were?
What? Yeah, can you believe? What if somebody wants to be on the show, like Nancy and Henry? What do they do?
Well, let's see, Nancy, what did you do? I think you reached out and you said, "Hey, can I be on the show?" I don't remember.
Yeah, what are you guys doing? Can I be a part of that? Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great question. And if you are listening and or watching and you think that you know someone we should have on the show, maybe you're an author, a songwriter, a poet, perhaps you're a literary agent, you're a publicist. You can already be thinking of a variety of folks that you work with that you would love to see here on the show. It's very simple. to inquire. And then I send you out a kind of a pre-interview form. We get to know one another a little bit. Just contact me at Bobby with an I, Bobby Jean Bell at gmail.com, and just tell me a little bit about what you have in mind, and then we'll start the conversation, right?
There you go.
Yeah, pretty simple.
What about a sponsor spot if somebody's interested in that?
Oh, that would be delightful. If you would like to see the show continue in some way, shape, or form, you can also contact us and say, hey, I really like what you're doing. How can I help? So the same, just put out that question to us at, again, BobbyJeanBell@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Or you can leave me a message on the Rendezvous with a Writer Facebook page is another great way to communicate us or get the communication started. Yeah. So let's see. Now what do we want to...
We got something called the ruby-handled knife. The ruby-handled knife.
Yes, Nancy, there is another character in this book.
Yes.
And a powerful, powerful, captivating character. Would you tell us a little bit about the ruby-handled knife? And then I think you have a special piece to share.
Yes. Well, never having written a book before, all I knew was my characters had to have a backstory. They had to have birthdays and places of origin. And how did they get where they're at? How did they, you know, where did they come from? And I studied on it and studied on this main character. I'd already picked out her name, but I studied on her and just decided, who she needed to be, but how do I tell that story to myself so I have a place to keep her and have her be this person? And it all came together. One morning I woke up and sat down with pen and paper and wrote most of the ruby-handled knife. I was missing one word, a two-syllable name of a coastal town of Scotland. I had to get my brother to help me there, but the rest of it just all came together. And so the ruby-handled knife really is who Rose McKenzie is. It's how I described her to myself. You ready?
I am.
We're ready.
I am so ready.
I'll try to do it. I do it a lot, but I'll try to do it without mistakes. The ruby-handled knife. Where did I get this knife? This knife was my grandfather's near 100 years ago. He took it from a pirate whose sordid life he did forego. Then he rescued a maiden from the hold of that black ship, and with this singing blade, he cut her bonds, and in the water they did slip. When they washed ashore near Dunbeath, after 3 days lost at sea, he knelt right there and she answered him, "Of course I'll marry thee." And he brought her to America, a new land rough and raw, where she used this ruby-handled knife to cut the cord on my dear pa. Now this ruby-handled knife is worth far more than all its gems. Its treasure is its history, how through our lives it wends. Its jewel-encrusted beauty will a crying baby charm. Blade and point, hilt and shaft, keep us safe from harm. When Grandpa passed, he gave this knife to his first son, my Pa. Now Pa's gone, this knife is mine, and I often am in awe. Just how it's played a stellar role in daily mundane life, bringing magic and enchantment to a lowly rancher's wife. This ruby-handled knife marks the first shaft each spring gathered. And it's the only knife to carve a roast upon the Christmas platter. This ruby-handled knife pairs midsummer's premier peach. And it's been used a time or two to extend a desperate reach. It's a comfort here kept at my side when faced by an outlaw. Why, it saved me from a bloody end at the panther's deadly paw. It freed me from my stirrup once when I became ensnared. And it cut the throat of a favored mount when no bullet could be spared. This knife will shave a callus and double as a spade, and it's marked our name to each beam and post throughout this home we've made. This knife will one day pass from my hand to my son's. He too will keep it at his side until his race is run. And so this ruby-handled knife steadfastly intertwines our history with our future, ever on through spans of time.
That's right.
Wait. And there are some scenes, dear reader, where that knife has a major role.
It does.
Enough said. This has been so delightful, Nancy. Tell us where people can find you, follow you, and what do you have coming up next?
Where they can find me, I am on Instagram. My handle there is Nancy_Elliott_. On Facebook, my handle there is Nancy Elliott Guitar Girl and Author. And then my website is www.nancyelliottmusic.com. You have to put two L's and two T's because Grandma always said that the one L, one T clan were just drunkards, horse thieves, and bank robbers. So you have to use two L's and two T's. That's where you can find me. And I have a music and bookstore and just started a photo gallery on the website.
Yes. Once again, we're talking about her album, Bluebird Singing on the Buffalo Road, and her book we've been talking about tonight, Autumn's on the Way. And Mr. Henry Park,
yes.
Where can people find you, and what do you have coming up next?
Oh, well, they can find me every place. Of course, Henry's Western Roundup. Well, I should say that you can find my book, The Greatest Westerns Ever Made and the People Who Made Them, at your shop.
Yes.
Yes.
I'll just hold it up again. Yes, right. Yes, yes.
Bookshop.org.
Bookshop.org. Yes. And Jim has a quote.
Jim has a bunch of quotes.
Jim has a couple quotes.
You know, this first one is from the daughter, Abby. And this is after she's been kidnapped, and this kind of keeps her going through the tough times. If the Lord is for me, who can be against me? And then we have a conversation between K.O. Campbell and Rose McKenzie, but you know, it's not really a conversation. She looked steadily into his eyes for what seemed a very long time. He witnessed a wild tangent of emotions fly across her face and through her entire body, changing her the way cloud shadows racing along the valley floor on a windblown day change the depth and the very perspective of the land. Though she never took her eyes off of his, he could see there was a long period she was not seeing him, but rather an event or series of events playing through her mind. It's great prose in that in the book.
Every scene where they're together, the author takes us behind what's going on, and there's dialogue without words. And then eventually there are some words, but there's a lot of dialogue without words. I think that's the gift of a very talented writer, Nancy.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah. We have one more.
One more quote.
And it ties a lot of strings together.
Yeah.
Nancy knows this fella. And this is True West Magazine, Henry's magazine. There's a quote from the great philosopher Henry David Thoreau.
Oh, yeah.
Go confidently in the direction of your dreams. Live the life you have imagined.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it fits the story very well.
It does. K.O. definitely does it. Lots of the characters do it, and it's an encouragement that comes with hope. And that's what this is all about. So let's see. We thank you both so much for being with us tonight.
That's great.
This was just so much fun. I can't believe we're already looking at 2 minutes left of the show. Next week, our guest is R.G. Yoho, Bob, to his friends. We'll be talking about two books, Bitter Water. Oh, my gosh, I have a body count going on. Couldn't put it down. Reading as fast as I can. Really great read. And now tonight I'll be starting, and we're both reading, of course, but tonight I'll be starting the next one, which is The Nine Lives of Charles E. Lively, the deadliest man in the West Virginia, Colorado coal mine wars. So this one is nonfiction, and this one is really good fiction.
Okay.
And what else do we have? We want to thank everybody. Thank you for being
thank
with
you
us.
Guys. Thank you. Thanks, our audience.
Sam Hassan of LA Talk Radio, and for you coming along and writing with us. And what else?
It's always a great day out west.
Keep writing and reading.
Thank you.